Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK. Chad Hershberger sitting in the producer chair today for Sean Carey, who's been off a couple of days this week. Steve will be with us momentarily. Guess I should start out and say top of the afternoon to you on this St. Patrick's Day. This time yesterday I was listening to the show and Chris Elio was going down over all the scores on the NCAA men's basketball tournament, so let's do the same this afternoon. Right now in the second half, Arkansas leads Seton Hall 51-46. We have Oregon also leading at the half 55-37 over Iona. Those two games going on right now. Two finals. Michigan beats Oklahoma State by a 1 point, 92-91. That's a final from today. And also Baylor and New Mexico. Baylor beat New Mexico 91-73. A couple other games coming up.
New Mexico State.
Oh, New Mexico State. Okay, the screen only said New Mexico. Oh, yeah, there's dot, dot, dot. I didn't read past that. So those are a couple of scores. We got a couple more games coming up this afternoon. A 3:05 tip, so they may have tipped already. Louisville and Jacksonville, USC and SMU also coming up this afternoon.
USC beat SMU early in the season. But SMU comes in with a 16-game winning streak. Saw most of that team last year twice in person. You know, Shake Milton and those guys, Moore. They've got some players that can play. Then they added in the transfer from Duke. That's made all the difference in the world for them. So SMU is a dangerous team. It is not, as I mentioned earlier, it is not an issue about where a team is seated for the team that is seated there. It is an issue for the people in their bracket as to where they're seated. Suddenly you're like, well, we got to face them now? Really? I mean, because SMU and Wichita State, I felt, were the two teams that were misseeded in this tournament. Everybody else was about in the same neighborhood where I thought that ended up being. Injuries have played a critical role. Akeem Springs gets lost for the year last Friday. That's why I couldn't pick them against Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State, hot coming in. They play a 1-3-1 zone. Springs is the best outside shooter they have. Sometimes you've got to shoot it over a zone. Springs is the guy that could do it. That's why I couldn't pick Minnesota. And Maryland has not been the same team since they lost Tchaikovsky. They have not been the same team since they lost Tchaikovsky in the middle. That was their stabilizer to go inside out with Trimble on the outside and Tchaikovsky down low. He was averaging over 10 points a game, about 7 rebounds a game. And losing him changed the dynamic of Maryland basketball. I think I said Michigan. Changed the dynamic of Maryland basketball. Everybody else is about where I thought they'd be. I think Purdue survives the next round. I don't think Wisconsin does, although I think it's going to be close against Villanova. I think Dick Girardi wrote in the Daily News today that it's going to be a low possession game. He said, looking at the KenPom numbers, and he's absolutely right. You look at the KenPom numbers, this could be a game where you've got 59 possessions. What do you text me here? He says, Villanova favored by 6 over Wisconsin, Gonzaga favored by 11 over Northwestern. Committee totally blew that. And he's right, they did. Wisconsin should have been in a better spot than Northwestern. Northwestern gets Gonzaga. Well, Wisconsin actually should have gotten Gonzaga, and Northwestern should have gotten Villanova. Okay, so the committee did not get that right. in terms of where you put people. It's like, I think, them putting Duke into Villanova's bracket. I know there's S-curves and all this other stuff, but you know what? After a while, I think you got to just say 1 through 68 and just play it. You know, despite all the S-curves and where you put people in pods and things like that. I know you're trying to increase attendance in this thing. that doesn't mean that the rest of us have to agree with everything. And that's where Villanova gets a much tougher second-round game against an 8 than Gonzaga does against its 8. They're both playing 1-8. Which one has the tougher matchup, Villanova or Gonzaga? And it's pretty obvious it's Villanova. It's stuff like that where, look, I know their hard job is hard, but to me, I think you got to take them and go down. Okay, what do we think it is at 1 through 68 here? Okay, we've got 4 number 8 seeds. Who's the best number 8 seed? Well, the best number 8 seed in your thought process has to be the one that goes up against the number 4, number 1 seed. Who's the worst of the number 8 seeds? Well, the worst of the number 8 seeds should be the one that gets the number 1 overall seed. All right? Because now, you know, in other words, you're telling me that based on this, Northwestern is 29 and Wisconsin's 32? No. Sorry, that's not the way it is. Wisconsin finished second in the Big Ten for a reason. They may not have been a team charging down the stretch, but they then showed in the postseason tournament where they should be. And this is where one area where the committee gets it wrong. And Jay Wright was never, and I told you the other day, Jay Wright is not enamored at all with the fact that he's got to play Wisconsin in the second round. I mean, do you realize that Wisconsin seniors have 12 post-NCAA tournament wins? They have 12. I mean, that's what they have. And they're all starting. Beto Brown, Zach Showalter, Bronson Koenig, Nigel Hayes. I mean, Nigel Hayes came to life last night. The heck happened there? He has shown virtually no sign of life all season. I mean, sure, Matt LePay and Mike Lucas on the Wisconsin Network had to be very pleasantly surprised to see Nigel Hayes back to playing like Nigel Hayes. Big plus. Actually played like his old self yesterday. Finishing around the basket, getting rebounds. Huge. We're going to have some fun on today's show, including Ryan Snyder from Rivals.com, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, my brother with picks today.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
I know, a lot of people do. So we'll have some fun with that. We'll have some fun on the show today. Looking forward to it very much. So we have a nice variety, a little bit on yesterday's pro day, a little bit on recruiting today, a little bit on spring football coming up. NCAA Wrestling Championship, Penn State's at a great spot. They have 5 semifinalists, and Jimmy Gulabon has come through in the clutch in wrestlebacks. He is still alive. He already won this afternoon. Jimmy Gulabon has only lost once. Penn State is 22-3 at the NCAA Wrestling Championships. How about that? 22-3. Not bad. The 5 semifinalists are Zane Rutherford, Bo Nickel, Jason Nolf, Vincenzo Joseph, and Mark Hall. They are the semifinalists. They will go tonight. So that's what we've got going on. And the Penn State men's ice hockey team beat Michigan last night in the Big Ten quarterfinals 4-1. That should be enough to get them into the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. And what an amazing story. That was an expansion team. That was an expansion team in the truest sense of the word, without an expansion draft. It started from scratch, and 5 years later, they're in the NCAAs. One of the really great stories. Literally starting from zero. Square one. Hey, yeah, we'll take a couple of players from the club team and see if they can help out. But that's phenomenal. What they've been able to do is phenomenal. And in the fifth year to make the NCAAs, you can't give Guy Gadowski, those kids, enough credit for that. So that's the story that we have so far today. Let's just update the scoreboard for you before we go to break. Seton Hall, Arkansas, tied at 68, 5:15 to go. Oregon's blowing out Iona, 65-38 with 18 to go. Jacksonville State's jumped out to a 10-4 lead on Louisville. Now, Oklahoma State hit a three at the buzzer to make this a one-point game. Michigan beat Oklahoma State 92-91. I watched that one with some interest today because Oklahoma State and Michigan are both on Penn State's schedule next year. Baylor won big over New Mexico State, 91-73. And SMU, known to some people in the newsroom as SMU, leads over USC 8-4 in the early going. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Well, the game of the day right now is Arkansas and Seton Hall. It's a 68-68 game with about 3 minutes to play. And right now that's the closest one of all, and they're playing in Greenville, South Carolina. So, and that is the game of the day right now. So it's Arkansas, known to the suit as Arkansas. Scary guy, isn't he? And they're tied 68-68 with the Hall. We have Frank Bodani scheduled today, York Daily Record, and Ryan Snyder from Rivals. And then my brother with Picks. It's where you get to jump in. You can do whatever you want, right?
Sure, I guess so.
Yeah, you can make some picks. In fact, you can do it as a proxy for Sean.
I could. I'm going to guess that he probably is more knowledgeable, but maybe I'll just pick better.
Look, you just might. Okay, I have to tell you a great story about picking. Gil Santos, John Grant, Stan Saverin, George Paterno, and yours truly were the five people on the television radio network in the 80s. And we used to do a one-hour roundtable as the pregame show before every game. 45 minutes of it was the five of us sitting down with Joe Paterno and doing a give and take. And this was Nelson Goldberg's idea. And, you know, really, it was great. I really went smoothly. I really actually enjoyed it a lot. But then we would get to, there were two open segments. One was about, you know, Joe's now left. It's our thoughts on the game. And then finally, the final segment was the five of us picking the game and a score. So for whatever reason, John Grant, I remember the reason now. Penn State's playing at Cincinnati. Going to play them at Riverfront Stadium. And I flew out with the team. So did Stan, so did George. No, George, they flew in commercially. Gil flew in commercially. I flew with the team. John Grant decided to go with, from friends here in State College, in a motorhome. Well, they're coming into Cincinnati, and they get hit in all sorts of traffic. Well, we had to tape the show at, I think, at 7 o'clock at night or something like that in the hotel. We're staying at the Clarion. And John doesn't make it. So it's just the four of us and Joe. So Joe says, you know, hey, where's John? You know, we tell him where John is. Okay, fine. So now we do the show. So now we get to the post game. Now we get to the part where we have to pick the game. And as I've told you many times, Gil Santos is about as funny a guy you want to talk about as you're ever going to find in the world. I mean, he's an absolute riot. And so he gets to the part and he says, all right, now we're going to pick the game as to what we think, and then we're going to pick the game as to how John would call it based on John's football knowledge. Okay, now the door is wide open. So Gil says, I'll go first. He says, Penn State, 38, Cincinnati, 7. And John will say, Cincinnati, 40, Penn State, 10. All right, now we're headed down the bad path here. Okay. So, so he gets to me. I'm second. And I said, Penn State will win the game. I'm going to say 38-3. And I said, and John will say Cincinnati 37, Penn State 1. And Gil says, 1? You can't get 1 in a game. I said, you said this was based on John's football knowledge. Well, of course, the next day we're all waiting for it because we're listening to the pregame show, and suddenly John hears that. He goes, I said, just in good fun. Well, what made it even worse for John? This is what made it worse. As John finally gets there, and John and I get in the elevator, and I had John's key to his room. So he and I are going up the elevator. I say, hey, by the way, I picked up your key at the front desk. I've got it. Because it was part of the team keys, it wasn't individual. I've got it. Here's your room. Joe gets on the elevator. Right? He goes, John, where were you? He says, you weren't at the taping. And he says, well, I came down with some friends in a motorhome. We got caught in all this traffic. And he says, John, it's a big city. This isn't State College. And John's just standing there. He's like, I'm a big city. Okay. You're going to tell me it's a big city. Or I'm in the back of the elevator, and I'm just trying not to laugh because what Joe said made me laugh. John's reaction made me laugh, but I also knew it that don't laugh. Just don't laugh. All right, more coming up next half hour. Looking forward to it. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, water, soft drink, snacks, wine coolers. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. That pickle bar is second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Hey, stock up for the weekend. There's plenty going on with the NCAA Wrestling Championships, the NCAA Basketball Tournament. It's kickback. It's going to snow a little bit tonight into tomorrow. Stock up tonight. Be ready for the weekend. Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, soft drinks, wine coolers, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. That pickle bar is second to none. We love the dills and the barrels. All at Brewers Outlet,
Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history. In 1940, for the first time in NHL history, one line, Boston's line of Milt Schmidt, Woody Dumart, and Bobby Bauer, ended up finishing 1, 2, and 3 in the scoring race. 1998, the United States beat Canada 3-1 to win the gold medal in women's hockey, the first ever gold medal in women's hockey. 1999, International Olympic Committee expelled 6 members of its committee in the wake of a bribery scandal. Probably not enough. 2005, several Major League Baseball players spoke about steroid use with the House Government Reform Committee. Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, Sammy Sosa, and Rafael Palmeiro participated. The hearing lasted 11 hours. And the and Seton Hall just got hit with a very bad call, a flagrant one on a foul because a guy flopped. All right, flopping is a huge, huge problem. Officials don't seem to have the feel for the game to call a flop. Right, it's a flop. Kid flopped, pure and simple. Flagrant one. It's an F1. It's a flop one. When they start getting a real feel for the game, they will start handing out technical fouls for flops. It'll end it right away. All right. Frank Podana, York Daily Record. Frank, it was great to see you yesterday here at Pro Day. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here, Steve. How you doing today?
Doing well. Frank, what are a couple of bullet points that stuck out to you in watching Pro Day yesterday at Haluba Hall?
Chris Godwin was very good. We all expected that. I mean, he's going to be not only the highest-rated guy drafted. I mean, there's a chance he might be the only guy drafted, which is kind of strange for Penn State this year. But the theme that hits me is all those other guys there have a lot more than just kind of timed and rep talent. And I think you will see several of them stick on NFL teams even when they will not be drafted. And I think, those are the leaders that kind of took Penn State through the past 4 or 5 years,
right?
Won a big title. There's more there to offer than just 40 times and, agility drill measurements. I think some of those guys like Brian Gaia will make a place for themselves and surprise some people.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point because the one area that, we could talk about bench press numbers, and Gaia cranked out with 32 at 225 pounds, and anybody who has seen lift for life, they've seen him do this before, so that's not unusual. But there's more to 40 times and shuttles and so forth. Part of the interview process is important. You've interviewed, on a football basis, a number of these individuals. How have they always struck you, and how well do you think they would have interviewed for an NFL scout, just on a guess?
Oh, I think they'll do well. I mean, Evan Schwann's one guy that kind of stands out when you bring that point up. Very outgoing, intelligent kid, makes a lot of sense. Not just makes a lot of sense when he interviews, I think, but he gives you the enthusiasm that's real about what he wants to do for you. I think he makes you believe in him. But it's not just him. I mean, Malik Golden, he's a good kid, been through a lot, changed positions. I mean, I thought he ran pretty fast for a safety yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting group because it's just not a high-profile group like, say, next year's might be up there. But it doesn't mean that 5 years from now these guys won't be successful. They learned a lot more lessons the last few years of what it takes to hang in there and overcome that I think will do them well in the future.
It's also interesting yesterday to see some of the former players there. Anthony Zettel showed up again. Geno Lewis was there. Christian Hackenberg was there. What stuck out to the fact that they came back?
These are the guys that they went through the toughest times with, even though they're not there. I mean, interesting to see Geno Lewis. I mean, he took some rough hits from fans and for leaving when he did, but I think people don't always get that. Hey, there's like 7 other receivers on the team. If you find yourself a better chance and can go to a place like Oklahoma, none of his teammates, all his teammates still love him. I mean, I think it says a lot about Penn State, about the care that the guys have. You always hear the recruits talk about one thing that sells them is a family atmosphere, and I think you saw that, what that means yesterday. Zettel's agent said to me, you know, Anthony said he probably wasn't going to have time to come down from Pittsburgh, but his agent said, I knew Anthony couldn't stay away from watching, coming down and cheering on, you know, Sickles and Schwann, his guys, you know.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what he did yesterday. Also, current players were there yesterday watching their teammates go through this. So that means we start turning our attention toward the spring practice, which begins next mm-hmm. week. So on your checklist, what are a couple of things, Frank, that are going to interest you immediately?
Well, I want to find out who their new anchor is going to be. That's going to be an interesting, the guy who's going to be leading this kind of ever-improving offensive line.
Right.
You might think Michael Mennett might get a shot. I would hope maybe he gets a shot first, see how he can handle it. Maybe like to see Connor McGovern maybe be able to stay at guard. Like to see, I think a little bit of a spotlight will be on Miles Sanders, Andre Robinson, especially Miles, because he came in with obviously even more hype than Saquon did as a tailback. So kind of a big time for him. Linebacker, who's their third starter going to be?
I mean, right.
I think there's still a little bit thin there with depth and experience, and there's a couple young kids that aren't your prototypical linebackers that are looking at that third spot. To me, that might be the most interesting. That and center, to me, would be the most, maybe a couple most interesting developments to keep an eye on.
Right. It's interesting how the offensive line, Frank, the perception of it has just changed with recruiting, because that has been a major concern, for 4 years now in watching this. How interesting has that been to see that now change over?
Yeah, recruiting and getting the right coaching development, or the coach that kind of clicks with the situation. I think Matt Limegrover really seems like he's that guy. And it's been a desperate issue for maybe 4 or 5 years, but I mean, I think it's even been more of an issue beyond that. Maybe getting the type of line that fans expect, like dominating type of offensive line. It's not there yet, but I think you see some hope that, hey, maybe Penn State can get to that point. I mean, if they have the offensive line that people think they can have in another year, they run the ball out and they win the Rose Bowl. They just, it's not their fault. They weren't there to be able to do that yet.
Facilities reveal in the master plan took place this week, and it was explained, you know, that Beaver Stadium is not going to be in the first round of this. What did you think about the proposals that they put out there, and also some of the drawings that were put out?
I think it looks fabulous. I think there's more to how I think it's going to look better if they go through with all that. It's going to look better than what I would have imagined. Almost, I knew they were going to do a lot, but I think the drawings really bring in make it real as, wow, this is really the potential that Beaver Stadium can have. I think just understandably, but I mean, it takes the wind out of a lot of people's sails when you're being told that, okay, this might not even be touched for 6 years. It's kind of like, okay, we understand maybe why, but that's a long time. I think for people who had it in their mind that something might be done a little bit sooner. I think that, you know, I don't know. I mean, if the team's good, people are going to be fine. I think good enough with coming there for a few more years. But I think it's just, you've been hearing about the renovation talk for so long that no matter how gorgeous it might be, and then I think that also maybe kind of makes it a little bit leery for people, because it's so long out that maybe you're not sure is what you saw, is that really going to be exactly what takes place?
Right.
You know, just some questions I had. That's my initial reaction.
Interesting. Hey, Frank, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate it very much. It was great seeing you yesterday.
Yeah, you too. And all the best to you. Enjoy the tournament, and we'll catch up this spring, I'm sure.
Frank Podany, York Daily Record. Ryan Snyder next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
It's Irish time, so it's Brewers Outlet time in Sunbury. Celebrate with Guinness cans, $35.99, or bottles, $29.95 a case. Killian 24-pack bottles, $17.97. For the ladies, how about a Reds Variety 12-pack, just $9.95. Or Henry's Cherry Cola 12-packs, $8.95. They fresh roast the peanuts daily, and don't forget about the pickle bar. Yeah, the Beverage Supermarket Brewers Outlet does it again for the holiday weekend. Enjoy Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
St. Patrick's Day. On behalf of Sean Carey and Mark Lawrence and Kevin Osut, we welcome you to the show.
So, Steve, yesterday I was hearing you talk about the On the Mark movie.
I think it's got tremendous possibilities.
I do, too. I thought that was a brilliant idea.
He wants Robert Redford to play him.
Yeah, so I heard.
We've got to come up with, obviously, somebody to play Joe McGranahan. Brad Pitt, I heard that name bandied about. And it's pretty locked in. Kevin James is the suit.
Mm-hmm. I think that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think it works out really well. Benjamin Bratt as Sean Carey. Yeah. And person that plays me is... Gilbert Gottfried, probably. All right, so Louisville up 35-29 over Jacksonville State. SMU leads USC 31-24. Oregon trying to close out Iona 83-70. Arkansas has won. And also, the Giants are going to re-sign Jason Pierre-Paul, 4-year deal, and then inexplicably are going to sign Geno Smith. I mean, what? Geno Smith? Okay, have you watched the tapes? I just wanna, have you watched the tapes? I mean, tonight there are people in the New York City area finding religion, praying that Eli never gets hurt. Oh, my goodness. All right, other games coming up today include North Carolina against Texas Southern at 4:12, Creighton and Rhode Island at 4:30, and then the night games get underway, get rolling. All right. The Vegas got very plenty of havoc in Vegas over the Oklahoma State buzzer beater. It was a 3 to make it 92-91. And here's the issue. It was 92-88. Michigan, by the way, 2.5-point favorite that covered it. Juwan Evans hit a 3 at the buzzer. Money changed hands. Money changed hands. I told you about being at the Orleans at Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman, I think Karen Girardi was there. The four of us were having lunch. And it was during the Carolina Giants game, the one where Josh Norman and Odell Beckham Jr. went at it. And now we're just eating lunch, and Sportsbook is adjacent to where we're eating lunch. And we're just sitting there chit-chatting, and all of a sudden the whole place goes insane. And I guess in the waning moments of the game, regulation, I guess, the Giants scored and tied it. And the place going absolutely insane. A few minutes later, I glance up at the TV, and Carolina kicked a field goal to win it, 38-35. Not a sound in the joint. Doesn't matter who wins. It matters who covers. I'm looking up thinking, oh, man, I can't believe the Giants lost. Carolina beat them. That's bad. And then I realize that there's no noise in the building over the fact that the Giants lost the game. In fact, it was a three-point game. These people had already made their money. So it didn't matter who won the game. I realize it's your money, and I understand that. That's the one area about gambling that I used to talk about this in a playful way when the suit was on the show with us. I used to talk to him about fantasy football, which is, you know, fantasy football is in its own small way, it is gambling. Okay? But I used to say, well, you have to pick a defense. And I don't know all the ins and outs of fantasy football. I don't play fantasy anything. And I said, what if you have the Ravens defense as your team, as your defense, and they're playing the Steelers that week? What do you do? End up rooting against your team? What if you have, okay, it turns out that my quarterback this week is Joe Flacco. Flacco's playing the Steelers. I said, aren't you rooting for Joe Flacco to throw five interceptions as a Steeler fan? He goes, no, I'm rooting for the Steelers to win, but I want Flacco to do well. What a bizarre way. When I was growing up, there is no way on planet Earth I'd root for anything the opposing team was doing with my team. Ever. Ever.
That's why I like my fantasy football league. We just play for pride. There's no gambling or anything. We just do it for fun.
Right, yeah, I understand that. But, for example, if I'm doing fantasy baseball, I mean, am I sitting there watching the Red Sox play the Yankees thinking to myself, gee, I hope the Red Sox win 6-5 and I hope Gary Sanchez hits four home runs. He's on my fantasy team. No. I want Gary Sanchez to strike out four times in the game against. That's my team you're facing. I want to win the game. I don't want to be sitting there the entire night hoping, you know, for a dual result. I mean, in my era, nobody thought like that.
Three words come to my mind: conflict of interest.
Here are words that come to my mind. Two of them: bizarro world. All right, this is not. That's a part I don't want to. Again, fantasy football is people interested. Fantasy baseball is people interested. So I'm perfectly fine with that part. But I don't know. I mean, I went to Las Vegas last year. You want to know how much money I gambled? I was there for 5 days. Zero. The biggest gamble I took was on the stake of the win. It was really good, too, by the way. SMU, 3 minutes to play. First half leads USC 32-26. Under four timeout. Oregon leads Iona 86-73. So Oregon's trying to close it out there. Halftime now. Louisville leads it over Jacksonville State 38-31. So just to keep everybody up to date. Yeah. Just in case. And by the way, the swing in Vegas on that three-point shot was six figures. Six-figure swing on one shot. All right. It's St. Patrick's Day on WKOK, the home of Kevin O'Suit and his son, O'Suit Light. Stop laughing.
I even had my mic turned off so you couldn't hear me.
I can tell.